Yes, love.
Do you remember when I first met you?
Of course, Nappy Canteen.
Do you remember?
Well, it's a long time ago, and, oh, blimey, I probably said a lot. You know, shot a line to impress you.
I was just a town girl, but you sat there in the naffy, and we had a cuppa each and a couple of wads, and you were explaining to me the thrill of ploughing properly.
I was?
Mm. When you were only 16 and your father let you take Blossom and Boxer and open up your first furrow.
Oh, by golly, yes. Old Blossom and Boxer. A lovely pair of horses they were.
Yes. I was just an innocent, wide-eyed townie. And I listened to you till the naffy closed, while you tell me how important it was that when you were working two horses, you had to have a well-matched pair. At the time, I thought you believed it.
Meaning what?
Jack, can't we work in double harness? I'm getting worried, terribly worried. When you left Grenville's fruit scheme and came back here to the Bull full-time and did all that work in the dining room and really began to be a man about the place, I felt that, for the first time, we were pulling together. I liked it. It was nice. We were both travelling the same road for the first time since we'd been married. There's your tea.
Thanks.
But away you've gone again. Flown off at a tangent. It's Brookfield now. I know you, Jack. In 6 months' time, it'll be something else. I just want us to love each other and have confidence in each other, that's all.
Huh. Fat lot of confidence you've got in me.
Oh, what's the use? All right, take a huff if you want to. All I'm trying to say
haven't
is...
Haven't you
that...
said plenty already?
Yes, Jack. Too much. You may never forgive me for this. It could possibly be between us always, but I'm sorry. My future lies here, and yours could too. Jack, we've floated about so much. This job, that job, here, there, everywhere. Now we've got a real chance, working in double harness. Oh, I didn't mean those things I said about your father, but don't you see?
No, I don't.
All right, then. You must do the other thing. I just have to go it alone. I thought that's how it would be. That's why I didn't sleep. I've got to get used to the idea that from now on it's going to be the four of us. Jennifer, Lillian, Anthony and me. I've told Jack all along that he's being used as a rubbing rag.
Oh, Peg.
But he is. Jack had wonderful ideas of going into partnership with his dad, of moving into Winford's house and becoming a farmer instead of a farm worker. Oh, I didn't want that. You all know I didn't. I made no secret of the fact. But I'd have had to go. Now what? Jack's a makeshift labourer, and now you want him full-time again. Well, he's my husband, and I say you can't have him. I need him here.
Oh, I'm sorry I mentioned it.
I'm sorry you did. But you might as well know my views.
I didn't see him being used as a rubbing rag or a makeshift.
Oh, you must have a different viewpoint from me, then. I think it's high time you and Mr. Archer sat down and had a jolly good look at things. I don't see how you can carry on like this.
I do seem to have raised a storm, don't I? Sorry, Peggy.
No, don't be sorry. Does us both good to let our back hair down now and again. I mean, I wouldn't mind if there was any future in it for Jack. But there isn't.
There could be.
Now, don't pretend. That's what everybody's been doing to poor old Jack. Just to get him working at Brookfield while you need him.
Oh, that's unkind.
Maybe, but it's jolly well true. Oh, I know everybody thinks I'm an awful nagging so-and-so to talk like this. Even Jack thinks so occasionally. But I realise that Jack will never make a farmer. Not now. He's out of date. He could never catch up with his studies to become technical enough like Phil and young Jimmy.
I don't like to hear you suggesting that Jack's got no intelligence.
Oh, don't put words into me mouth that I didn't say. Look, if Jack had wanted to study and make a go of working on the land, well, he had the best possible chance with Mr. Grenville on the fruit side. How long did that last?
Well, Peggy, I feel that Brookfield Farm has come between you and Jack often enough. Maybe you're right. We'd better dispense with his services altogether.
I wish you would. Then we could start work on our own lives. After all, you've had yours, or most of it. Well, you've got a long way to go yet. Money to make, children to educate.
Yes, I understand. Think no more about it.
Oh, now I've upset you.
No. No, fair's fair. You've wanted to say your say, and now you've said it.
Oh, I haven't half. Jack would murder me if he'd heard all the things I've let fly this last few minutes.
Oh, if only Dan wasn't so pig-headed about keeping on at the farm. Life would be so much less complicated.
But tell me, do you think I'm wrong?
Wrong? How?
About Jack. Do you think he'd make a better farmer than innkeeper?
Well, that's a thing you'll have to work out for yourselves. I'll not take sides on it. But I can tell you where you're likely to make most money. And it wouldn't be at Brookfield the way things have been going just lately. But we'll pull through somehow, Peg. We'll manage.
I don't want our Jennifer to be too original. I wanted to take a course in domestic science and take over the restaurant.
You'll be lucky.
You mean she will? Having a nice job like that waiting for her one day?
You'll be glad to know that after Jennifer's taken her advanced GCE, or whatever they call the next stage, she'll then go on to university and study to be a natural history teacher.
What?
That's it. I kid you not.
Where does she get that from?
Don't know.
University, indeed. Who does she think she is?
That'd shake the family rigid, eh? Jack and Peggy's daughter to university.
I give up. I really do. She's just the same as her father, our Jennifer.
And what's wrong with that?
Big ideas, illusions of grandeur, haulage fleets, universities.
Get on.
You build great big balloons full of hot air.
Then you're the pin that pricks them.
There. Ooh, what a fuss and palaver, and all for the sake of bringing together a man and woman in holy wedlock and all that caper.
Oh, come off it. You like dressing up as much as the next one.
Oh, yes, but not like this. I feel like something off a 1915 picture postcard.
Oh, you look very nice, actually. And I'm not kidding. That dress might seem over-feminine to you, but it does suit you.
Does it, do you reckon?
Definitely.
Well, I suppose I'd pass in a crowd. Oh, but give me the jeans or a miniskirt every time. Where's Mum? With the bride?
No, I think Mrs. Mead's with her. With Polly, I mean. Mum's putting the final touches to her own get-up. She looks very nice as well.
Yeah, Mum always comes out well on occasions like this. She pays for dressing up.
Well, I think that's about as far as I can go. The only thing to do now is to wait for the cars to arrive.
Oh, I'm ready too. Ooh, pair of good girls, aren't we? Ready before time.
Parson has plenty of practice in the art of keeping a secret, you know. Have no fear. So out with it, Jennifer. What have you come to see me about, eh?
I've come to ask you a favour, Vicar.
Oh, yes?
I'm in a terrible mess, and yet it's my own fault. I don't blame anyone, and I'm going to face up to it. But sooner or later, my parents have got to be told, and that's just something I can't bring myself to do. And I wonder, Mr. Reeford, would you tell them? You see,
Yes? And what would you like me to tell them, my dear?
I'm going to have a baby.
I see. And when do you expect your baby to be born, Jennifer?
In about 6 months.
I see. And you've seen the doctor and found that everything is normal, I suppose?
Oh, yes. I've been seeing a doctor in Borchester. Everything's all right physically, but in other ways, socially, morally.
Yes? Socially, morally?
Legally.
Well, of course, those considerations bring you a lot of problems to deal with, don't they?
Yes, except, well, morally.
Do you want to discuss that aspect of it at this particular moment?
Well, don't you, Vicar? I mean, I thought you...
You thought I'd start to moralise at you, is that it? You expected a sermon, eh?
Well, yes.
My dear, what possible good would be served now by lecturing you on the virtues of chastity? It's a bit late, isn't it? Facts are facts, so let's deal with them. Now, in the first place, I'm sorry, but I couldn't agree to tell your parents for you.
Oh.
It wouldn't be fair either to them or to you.
To me? But it would make things so much easier.
If it would, my dear, I'd do it. But it won't. Whatever I said, however I put it, you would still have to face them sooner or later. I beg you, tell your parents. And those near to you will have to know, as soon as you can. But this I promise you. Once you have made a clean breast of things, then I'll be there to back you up.
I don't understand all this. What's it about?
I've told you all I know.
But didn't Dr. McLaren give you any reason?
I've told you exactly what happened once we were in the waiting room. She insisted on going in by herself first.
But you've no idea why?
No. Then I went in when I was sent for, and the doctor said after he'd examined her that she was perfectly all right, but that he wanted her in hospital for the birth.
Perfectly all right, but she needs a hospital confinement. Now, what sort of sense does that make? It's Jill's baby all over again.
Oh, no, I made a special point of asking that. He just laughed at me. Anyway, they can't tell it's a blue baby till after it's born, so it couldn't be that.
And Jennifer didn't have a word of explanation?
Not a solitary word, except to confirm what the doctor told me, that there was nothing at all to worry about.
So?
So, obviously, she's found out something about the father that she's told to Dr. McLaren in private, and as a result, she's to go into hospital when she's near her time. What else could be the reason?
Oh, I can see another reason very plainly. One you should have thought of.
What?
Our season's getting busier and busier.
Well, what's that got to do with it?
Maybe Jennifer felt she'd rather go into hospital if she could. And with first babies, it isn't at all unusual.
But why not tell us that?
Perhaps she thought she might hurt our feelings. She knows you've been looking forward to her having her baby here.
Well, haven't you?
If you want me to be honest, I'd feel a lot happier all round if she was safely in hospital. Both from her point of view, and the baby's, and mine.
And you think she might have asked the doctor specially?
Yes. That could account for her not wanting you to be there in case you'd be upset. He said it didn't take her more than about half a minute.
No, I went in almost immediately after she did, so it couldn't have been a very long discussion. I wonder.
Hello, Mrs. B. Isn't it a lovely day?
Hello, Mrs. Archer. Yes, can't last, though. We might have a bit of a thunderstorm, I shouldn't wonder. Well, Master Jack?
Hello, Mrs. B.
How are you, then?
Oh, I'm fine, thanks. How's the world treating you?
I think the best answer to that one is no comment, like what all these folks in the papers seem to be saying these days.
I see.
I hope, Master Jack, as you haven't wasted your time coming round here to try and get me to change my mind, because you could have saved yourself the trouble.
Oh.
Oh, Mrs. P, you've started to pack.
Well, of course I have. I never was one to leave things till the last minute.
Well, seeing that I am here, Mrs. P, I just want to say one thing. If you're quite sure you won't change your mind and stay...
I am.
Then we're all very sorry. Peg and me, all of us.
All of you?
Yes, Mrs. P, all of us. Especially Jennifer.
It's a bit late for Miss Jennifer to be sorry, I would have thought.
Oh, dear, this is all such a pity.
Oh, I can't agree. A great pity. A very great pity. But it's no use crying over spilt milk. It's too late anyway. It's all fixed up. Removers arranged and everything.
Oh, Mrs. P, you haven't.
Why is it that nobody round here seems to believe a word I say? If I says a thing, I means it. Anyway, where's our Peg? Is she all right?
Oh, she's fairly well. Very upset, naturally. She'll be coming round to say goodbye. I just thought that I might... Well, Mum and me together, really. Might have been able to persuade you to change your mind and stay on.
Stay on? Oh, don't talk so far back, Jack. It's all fixed. In fact, I would have liked to have offered you a cup of tea, but I'm afraid I packed me china. Only got one cup, saucer and plate. After all, the removers will be here first thing tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
Oh, Mrs. P, never
mind. Ah, better. Bye, Polly, I need it. I say, do you often come in here?
Yes, quite often.
Well, I just can't get over the fact that I haven't seen you before.
I'm a friend of the manager's, as a matter of fact.
Oh, I see. A close friend, if you don't mind my asking.
Not as close as that tone in your voice suggested, Mr. Archer.
Blimey, you know my name too, do you?
You're very well known here, aren't you?
Yes, I suppose I am. Most people here call me Jack, though.
I'm Jane. Hello, Jack.
Hello to you, Jane. Are you ready for another?
No, thank you. As a matter of fact, I'm not staying. I have an appointment.
Oh, pity.
Never mind. I'll see you here again, no doubt.
Hope so. I'd like that.
Oh, there's one of your friends coming in now. Bimbo, isn't it?
Hey? Oh, yes. Hey, Bimbo, same again.
Right, me old fruit. How's things? Everything hunky-dory?
Couldn't be better. Oh, look, do you have to go?
Right, so.
Well, I'm sorry. I was enjoying talking to you.
We'll meet again, no doubt. But you could always get in touch with me by ringing this number. So nice to meet you, Jack. Goodbye.
Oh, goodbye, Jane. Here's to the next time.
Hello, hello, hello. What's all this then? Midday Monday morning is after the crackling already.
Hello, what? Bimbo.
There you are, Jack. Cheers.
Cheers.
By golly, I needed that. I should need a friend, eh?
Her name's Jane. I was just thinking what a very charming girl she was.
What's her other name?
Eh? Oh, she didn't say.
That makes her sound like a first class.
Oh, wait a minute. She gave me her card. Now, let's see. Well, of all the blooming nerve. Who the dickens does she think she is? Giving me a thing like this. Me, of all people.
Let's have a look at her again. Oh.
Aid for alcoholics, indeed. Alcoholics. Me. Who does she think she is?
Right, now you'll drink another one.
No. Please, Lillian. Make me sick.
And you make me sick. There. And drink it.
But I don't want to.
Drink it. And if it does make you sick, so much the better. Oh, talk about behaving like an animal. Any self-respecting animal I've ever met would be ashamed to degrade itself.
Oh, don't go on at me. Please. Your mother will do plenty of that. Oh, I feel terrible.
Well, you don't expect sympathy, surely.
There's a lot you don't know, love. An awful lot. Oh, Lillian, please. Please don't tell your mother. Please, I beg you.
Oh, don't touch me.
On my knees, love.
Oh, no, no, don't do that. Oh, how could you? You're degrading and disgusting and ridiculous and horrible, and I'm going to bed.
Oh, there you are. I thought it'd be better to talk round here than in the bar. Thank you for coming so promptly, Uncle Tom, and for bringing Dad Archer along, too.
Well, that's what you asked me to do, love.
I know. I'd have rung you straight away, Dad, but I thought it'd be best to get Uncle Tom to ring you. Then we wouldn't have Mum Archer getting all hot and bothered.
Ah, very thoughtful of you, Peggy. But now then, out with it. What's happened? In the first place, who's the cause of the trouble?
It's Jack.
I thought as much.
Dr. McLaren waited as long as he dared because he wanted to put you both in the picture, but he had an urgent maternity call and had to go.
Ah, I see. But what exactly is the trouble, Peg?
Well, I left him in bed this morning because I'd got a lot to do.
Uh-huh.
Asked him if he wanted any breakfast, and he mumbled something about no, not to bother. Well, that's no change. He hasn't been in the mood for breakfast for weeks.
Mm-hmm. And then what?
I took him up some coffee, and he was unconscious.
Unconscious? You mean he'd had a fall or something?
No. He was lying there looking a very bad colour, and he wasn't breathing heavily, like as if he was drunk, but oh, not naturally. As though his heart was giving out or something. There was an empty whiskey bottle on the floor.
You mean it wasn't there when you asked him if he wanted breakfast?
Oh, it wasn't there then, definitely.
Oh, good Lord. How long has he been at the bottle that early in the morning?
Oh, he often takes a good strong nip first thing to put him right, as he says.
Is he still upstairs?
Yes. Doctor said not to disturb him. He's given him an injection and left me some tablets. I'm to keep any bottles away from him till he's been again.
Are you telling us it's purely and simply a case of alcoholism, Peg?
That, together with the fact that he never eats. It's just skin and bone, Dad. And he was in a funny state mentally.
What?
Oh, don't misunderstand me. I don't mean he was going off his head. He'd suddenly made a great determination to come back into the hotel with a job to do. He'd done an excellent breakdown of work between Ronnie Beddoes, me and himself. A really good admin job it was. I was really bucked about it. I thought he'd got himself in hand at last. And then this.
What do you make of that then, Peggy?
Oh, I think he realised how near the borderline he was, and he was making a last desperate attempt to get back to normal again. I think he fought against the bottle and lost.
But couldn't you have seen he wasn't by himself, Peggy? That he didn't have to fight the battle on his own? After all, if you knew how he was...
I asked if I could help him, and he snapped at me and said he wasn't that far gone, thank you very much. And when he needed any help, he'd ask for it.
Oh, I see. Like that, is it? Well, I'm sorry, Peg. I didn't mean to browbeat you. Point is, where do we go from here?
Well, Dr. McLaren will be coming in again. What he wants to know is what arrangements would we like him to make. He can go into a nursing home that specialises in this sort of thing. It'd be in London, away from all the people he knows. That's one alternative, and thank God we can afford it if only Jack will agree to go. But he must go voluntarily.
Well, of course he must.
Ah, and he won't. He's been to a mental hospital once and got himself cured and right again. He won't go into this place, not if I know Jack. He's fought that sort of battle once, and he's often told me they did a great job for him at the hospital. But he'll be master of his own fate from now on. Well, he told me that only a couple of months ago.
You mean you discussed it with him, Dad?
Oh, ah.
Oh, that's more than I was ever allowed to do.
Well, I told him if he kept on hitting the bottle the way he was doing, he'd end up in an institution of some sort. He told me that this time, any crack-up would be entirely his own fault, and he wouldn't dream of taking up the valuable time of doctors and nurses all over again. Said he wasn't worth the trouble.
Oh, one of those moods. Mm. I know, I'm only too well just lately.
There must be a basic reason, Peggy. Now, what is it, do you know?
Too much money to play with, not enough work to do, and loneliness.
Loneliness?
Yes, Dr. McLaren thinks so too. We're all busy working, and his friends are beginning to write him off as a dead loss because he's always just that little bit unsober. Not drunk, you know, but unsober.
Oh, I know. Well, what's Dr. McLaren advise?
Oh, this is the point. At the moment, Jack's quiet, drugged.
Mm-hmm.
But his heart is affected. His liver is suffering and his kidneys. He's got to stop the rot. If he won't go into hospital and we can't force him, then the family must get together somehow and work for his salvation.
Hmm, I see.
And one thing sticks out of my eye, don't it, Peggy?
Hmm? What?
Well, where's the worst place for a chap in Jack's condition to be, just at the moment?
In a pub.
Exactly.
Tony's coming back again. Must have forgotten something.
Then let's hope he's coming back in a better humour.
No such luck, mate. Hey, thank you! You should have seen the dirty look he just gave me through the window, Mum. Why me? What have I done?
Well, here he comes, dear. Here's your chance to find out. Tell him off for the pair of us.
Mum, could you lend me a quid, please, till tonight?
Of course.
Hello, laughing boy. Surely it isn't the want of a quid that's upsetting you.
Well, now, don't you start. I'm not in the mood for Lillian Archer's bumper fun book today.
Well, all I can say, young Tony, is this. If I'm in anybody's black books, I do like to know the reason. I can't think of anything I've done wrong. I'm blowed if I can.
Oh, don't bother with him when he's in one of these moods, Lillian. You should know your brother by now. He lives in a little world of his own, and if everything isn't just perfect, then everybody has to suffer.
Ha ha, very funny.
Here's the pound you wanted. And don't forget the day and the month, if you don't mind.
Oh, anybody would think I borrowed money and forgot to return it.
Yes, they would, wouldn't they? And they'd just about think right.
Hear, hear. Getting to be a regular ear-biter, our Tony. You want to watch it, Tony. It can get you a bad name.
What's an ear-biter, for goodness sake?
A chap who borrows without any intention of paying back. At least that's what I think it means.
Well, I don't think your brother's as bad as that.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you very, very, very much. So I'm a two-timing scrounger all of a sudden, am I? What a gorgeous family I've got, one way and another.
Same to you.
Tony, for pity's sake, what is on your mind? Why don't you tell us and get it cleared up? Maybe we can help.
Oh, if you must know, it's about that Paunton's farm. I went to the auction with Aunt Laura.
You never did.
Don't tell me she was bidding for it.
Well, I told you she would. She and I talked it over. I told you about it, Lillian.
Yes, but I never thought Aunt Laura would fall for it.
Well, she did. After all, it was my money. Well, it will be when I'm 21.
Anyway, what happened?
Well, we were outbid. It was climbing to a ridiculous price and she wouldn't go any higher. Couldn't blame her.
Well, I still can't see why we should be to blame.
Nor me. And what's more, Tony, I reckon if that derelict old place of Brown's did fetch a high price, well, then you were well out of it.
I agree. But I thought your dad advised against it, Tony. He thought you should get more experience before starting up on your own. Well, that's what I thought.
Dad? What's the use of talking to him about anything apart from gambling and boozing?
Look, I'm not staying here to listen to you talking about your father in that way. If you're so much against everybody in this house, Lillian, me, Jennifer, your father, then you know what you'd better do, don't you?
Oh, now, Mum, don't be like that. Oh, that's the trouble with this family.
There's no trouble in this family that you try to help to put right, Tony. Who are you to moralise and be pompous about Dad and Jennifer and everybody?
Well, look, you could hardly say that Dad and Jennifer were aids to a chap's career, could you?
So far, Dad's provided you with everything you've ever had, and he's likely to go on doing that for a year or two yet, till you're out of college. Always assuming you ever get in.
Oh, I should do that, all right.
Oh, but of course. The fabulous Anthony William Daniel Archer just couldn't be refused admission to anywhere, could he? Being so high-minded and jolly decent and thoroughly priggish. I'll tell you something, brother dear.
What?
You make me sick. Heaven help the poor woman who ever gets lumbered with you. If you ask me, you're going the right way to becoming a first-class bore.
That's Jack's room. He's coming out. Decided to come out into the world again. Yes, here he comes.
You two coming to see me?
We were coming to see if you were still alive. What the devil do you think you're up to, Jack?
I think it's high time I had a few words with you, Dad, and you, Peg.
Now, Jack, don't start going on. You've caused enough trouble with Aunt Laura, by the look of it.
I've caused trouble with Aunt Laura, have I? Who the dickens started it? I'll tell you. Aunt Laura and you, Dad. And everybody wants to get me out of this place and out of the way. Why does everybody want me out of the way? Why? What's going on behind my back? Why do you want to get rid of me for a start, Peggy, eh? Come on, tell the truth. What's going on? I want to know and I intend to know.
Oh,
now.
Dad, what would you do with him?
Well, if I hadn't known it was impossible, I'd say he'd been drinking.
Oh, that's always the easy way out, isn't it? Take no notice of Jack, he's been drinking. Makes it very easy for you to push me on one side and forget all about me, doesn't it? I'm just a soak who's of no account.
Well, you said it.
Now, steady on, Peggy.
I'm sorry, Dad. I've had about as much as I can take.
What about me, eh? Whoever gives a thought to me? Whoever bothers to think how I feel?
Oh, for heaven's sake, Jack, don't add self-pity to everything else.
It's all my fault, isn't it? Everybody else is perfect. But poor old Jack, he can't do a thing right.
Dad, can't you stop him shouting about the place?
You know, Jack, if you had the least idea how much the whole family's concerned about you, well, you wouldn't be carrying on like this.
Who's carrying on? Like what?
Now, look, Jack, come down and let's sit quietly somewhere and talk things over, if that's what you want.
I want an answer to my questions. That's what I want, and I intend to have
Jack, please don't keep on shouting. Everyone in the hotel will hear you.
I don't care if everyone in the world hears me.
Oh, come on, Peg, let's leave him to it.
But, Dad,
he'll come to his senses if we walk away. Is the snug empty?
Mm. Oh, yes.
We'll be in the snug if you want to talk sensibly, lad. I'm certainly not going to try to carry on a conversation halfway up the stairs.
What if he goes back and locks himself in?
He won't. Come on. We'll be in the snug, Jack.
Here. Now look here, what's going on?
Here we are. Well, go in and let's shut the door.
Oh, I hope we're doing the right thing, Dad.
Well, of course we are.
I had so much to cope with just recently, I can't think straight.
Ah, there.
Now what?
Well, we just talk quietly and wait. If I know Jack, his curiosity will get the better of him, and he'll come and see if we're talking about him behind his back.
I do hope you're right.
Oh, I think I am, Peg.
No further news, Mum. Oh. Of course, you know about the message we had at lunchtime.
No, has it started?
Yes, she was just starting. But they said not to ring before 6 o'clock unless they rang first.
Oh.
I do wish I could be there.
Oh, now, you know what Jennifer said, Mum.
Where's Dad?
Having a word with Jack.
Oh, no, I'm not. I've had that. Mm. Hello, Peggy, love.
Hello, Dad.
Everything all right?
She's in labour, Dan. Might be any time now. Peggy's got to ring after 6 o'clock.
Oh. Look, let me pour you a cup of tea, Mum.
No, thanks, dear. Oh, listen, is that the village clock?
Ah, oh, let's have a look. Ah, that's about right, too.
Then here goes.
Got the number, Mum?
Yes, it's on the pad here by the phone, and the Borchester dialing code. Oh, do sit down, Mum, and you, Dad. Lillian, pour them some tea.
No, thanks, dear. We've not long had ours, had it early specially.
Oh, no.
What is it, love?
Oh, that's impossible. I've only dialed 2 numbers and I've got the engaged tone. Oh, really, at a time like this. How can the number be engaged when I haven't dialed it? Oh, really?
No, it isn't the number that's engaged, Peggy, love. I'm afraid it means the telephone lines to Borchester are engaged. It's a busy time, you know, just on 6 o'clock.
Try again, love.
Oh, what's the use?
Oh, go on, Mum.
Oh, all right.
Do sit down, Dan, and stop fidgeting.
What?
Oh, dear. Shall I be glad when this is over?
That goes for all of us, love.
Oh, is that your dad on the stairs, Lillian? Keep him down there until I've got through, will you?
Yes, right-o, Mum.
Thanks. Oh, hello. Borchester Hospital. Maternity wing, please. Oh, dear, this waiting. They all seem so calm, don't they? Hello, yes? Maternity wing. I want to make an inquiry. Archer. Jennifer Archer. I'm her mother. Is the baby born yet, please? It is. A boy.
It's a boy, Dan.
And how is she? Oh, that's splendid. Oh, thank you very much. How much did it weigh? Oh, I see. Oh, 5:30. Yes, of course. Can I come and see her? Oh, yes, I understand.
Wait till I tell Dad. Dad, it's a boy.
Oh, what a relief. Oh, thank you very much indeed, sister.
It's a boy.
Good night. Oh, I expect you heard that. Oh, thank God, it's all over.
Oh, all right, dear. Don't bottle it up.
Everything's all right, though, isn't it, Peg?
A boy, eh? When was it born?
About... Oh, I'm sorry. It's such a relief to know that she's all right.
Hey, that's a very pretty bit of knitting, ma'am. It's a bit small for Nelson, though.
It don't happen to be for Nelson.
In blue and all. Yes, now that could be for a babby, eh? A little boy babby.
Ask no questions, you'll hear no lies.
Do me a favour, Mrs. B. There's an old pal.
Always do anybody a favour if I can. Depends what it is, though.
Well, just make things up again with Peg and Jennifer and the rest of them. Go on. It won't hurt you, and it'll do them a power of good, ma'am. Peggy's got her plateful just now with Jack.
What is wrong with our Jack? The usual?
Well, yes. It's a case of too much money and not enough work. 'Twas always a fatal combination for Jack. You know that as well as I does.
Yes, I should do. I haven't been and seen him yet. Have to pop down in a minute, else there'll be ructions. Seeing as being Ambridge, somebody's bound to have seen me get off the bus.
Yes.
But I had to have a word with you first. And as for our Jennifer, well, maybe you're right. Whom am I to be judge and jury? I got me principles, but what's done is done.
Don't upset yourself, Mum.
But I think that's awful. For your Granny Perkins to come to Ambridge and to go to Walter Gabriel's without so much as looking in here to pass the time of day. My own mother.
Well, Uncle Tom probably made a mistake or got it wrong or something.
Your Uncle Tom knows your Granny Perkins as well as I do.
Well, she wouldn't come all the way to Ambridge just to see old Walter, Mum. Talk sense.
I hope not. Oh, this'll be your granddad, Archie, Lillian. He's having a bite to eat and a chat with your dad. Let him in.
Oh, right. Welcome, O father of all the archers. Oh, it isn't.
If I look like anybody's father, I must say I've changed a lot since I was here last.
Oh, Gran. Good old Granny Perkins. How lovely to see you. Come on in out of the cold.
Well, now's Lillian, then. Pooh, you smell of horse.
Well, it goes with my job, I'm afraid. But I do bath and put on a different perfume in the evenings, Gran.
I'm very glad you do. Hello, Peg.
Mum, hello. And I thought you'd passed us by.
Did you think I'd come to Ambridge without calling to see you?
Well, anyway, come and sit down and take off your clothes. You're just in time to have lunch with us.
That's what I thought. I'm no fool, you know. Oh, that reminds me, before I forget, Peg, I just rushed off this little thing. Might come in useful somewhere.
Oh, Mum, a little romper suit. Is it for Adam?
Well, I can't think of anybody else it would fit.
Why didn't you send it to Jenny for yourself? She'd have liked that, Mum.
Oh, well, I didn't want to embarrass the girl. How are they?
Oh, they're very well, Gran. And little Adam's just adorable.
You'd simply love him, Mum, really you would. And Jennifer's bringing him up beautifully. She doesn't let him lack for anything. You must see them.
Yes. Yes, I must, Peg. But now I've made up my mind that I want to see them, well, I think maybe Jennifer will feel why should she see us. I made the breach, and it's up to me to heal it. But it takes two to do that. And let's be honest,
I don't really deserve any overtures from Jennifer, do I?
Oh, what absolute rubbish.
Here, here.
You take off that coat and hat and the three of us will sit down to lunch and hear all about everything, and we'll give you all our news as well.